Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to My Perfect Console. I'm Simon Parkin, and in each episode I invite a guest to pick the 5 video games they would like to immortalise on their very own fictional games machine. Perhaps it was the first game they received as a birthday present, or the one that so obsessed them it caused them to fail their exams, or maybe it was the only thing that got them through a difficult breakup. Games, a bit like songs, often become powerfully attached to a particular moment in our lives. When we return to them, they can become warp points to the past. So join me, Simon Parkin, for My Perfect Console. My guest today is the Japanese designer of some of the most transcendent music-themed video games yet made. He graduated with a degree in media aesthetics from Nihon University. Then, inspired by a photograph of a VR headset made by NASA, joined Sega, hoping to work on a similar project. A keen sports car enthusiast, he developed the arcade racing game Sega Rally Championship. Then, during a research trip in Switzerland, attended a dance music concert and found himself in a crowd of tens of thousands. Seeing how the music, lights and bodies move together set him on a new path towards making full sensory digital experiences. In 2001, he released Res, a trance-themed game in which players shoot down computer viruses in time to the beat. It is today widely regarded as one of the high points of digital expression. "I still feel like I am in the middle of my career," he once told me. "I've only achieved half of what I want to, and I've not lost my excitement about games." Welcome, Tetsuya Mizuguchi.
Hi, Simon.
How are you, Miz?
I'm very good, very good. I'm in Tokyo now. The Tokyo is, you know, the dry and cold. So how are you, Simon?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm in the UK and it's very cold here, like really frosty outside. But we're talking, you're in the evening and I'm in the morning. So,
Yeah.
Thank you for staying late.
No, it's my pleasure.
So it's recently been announced that Res Infinite is coming to Sony's new updated virtual reality headset. The game is 22 years old, but it still looks as though it's brand new. It looks like it was made today. What do you think gives Res this ageless quality?
Yeah, so we applied to the current, you know, the technology, and of course, you know, the graphic is so crispy in the high res, and sound is also. But you know, the most hot topic is, you know, we applied to UPSVR2. And we had eye tracking control. This is a very new thing. So Yeah, it's a very exciting moment, you know.
So just explain what that does, eye tracking. How does that affect REST?
You know, you can use your eye movement and tracking for the shooting. And so, yeah, you can, you know, you can shoot, you can use the eye tracking, you know, the moving the scope.
To direct.
Yeah, direct.
Yeah.
So I think this is a new experience for everybody.
Right. Yeah.
So this is like a, you know, as a future dreamy experience, like, yeah, you know, in a movie.
Shooting lasers from your eyes. It's like very futuristic, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. So play feel a little bit different, but I think everybody love to play. It's getting, you know, fun immediately. So, and everybody can feel, oh, this is a new experience, you know, they're using a new tech. Yeah, I hope so.
When you were working on the game in 2000 and 2001, did you have any idea that it would have such a long life, that it would still be played and still relevant 20 years later?
I had to, you know, this is a dreamy, you know, the future scope and the vision, but I had no confidence, you know, about evolution of technology. So I thought it would be take a long, long time, you know, to achieve that kind of a future experience until new technology came. But it's coming, you know, very quickly and rapidly, more than, you know, I thought. So, very, very exciting moment.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you'd always been interested in virtual reality, hadn't you? And I think I remember you saying that you'd were a little frustrated when Res came out that it wasn't for VR. Uh-huh. But there, of course, there weren't really any VR headsets at that time. So
yeah, that's right. That's right. So my first job at Sega was I'm XR Game Gear headmount. You know, headmount Game Gear.
Yeah, you used a Game Gear. Sort of as the screen inside a VR headset, is that right?
Yeah, there was a kind of AR. So, that was 1991. This is a huge headset, and those are real ugly, you know, looking. But so I had you know, that kind of a curiosity and motivation. So yeah, after that, you know, 10 years later, from the first. The Game Gear AR experiment. I met Rez, and I had the vision, you know, if I can use that kind of technology into Rez experience, but that was impossible at the time.
Okay, so the premise of the podcast is I'm asking you to pick the 5 video games you want to put on your perfect mini console, a bit like a Super Famicom Mini or something. Can you tell us about the first game that you picked, which is a very early example of a video game? What is it, and when did you first play it?
My first one, that is Pong, Atari. Atari. So this is my first game I played.
Oh.
I think I was 10 or 11 years old kid, and I went to my friend's house, and I saw the Pong. And that was the first time, you know, some device connected to, you know, the TV, the house TV. And the TV was color, but the game was black and white in my memory. So I don't know exactly, but in my memory, game was black and white. And that was the first interactive, you know, thing. Interactive thing, you know. That was the first time I encountered, you know, that kind of things and experience. I played Pong with my friend, you know, the moving controller.
Yeah, so you use a rotator dial, don't you, to move the bat back and forth, and it's a bit like tennis for anyone who's not seen it, but everyone knows what a Pong is.
But that was a very simple game, but it's so fun. And anyway, you know, first interactive experience, you know, for everybody. So, and sound is like very primitive sound, but it's very addictive. The game is very simple, but really addictive. And so everybody,
Did you go home from your friend's house and ask your parents if they would buy you Pong?
I think I did, but nothing happened. Nothing happened.
So is this your friend that you mentioned here? Because I know you had a friend who his parents owned a toy shop. Was that this friend?
Yes.
Oh, it was. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, his parents' shop, 80, you know, the mini, the new games, you know, technology and the new game after Pong. So those like, you know, toy box.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, this is like a gate and a door, you know, to the future, you know, all the time, you know. I love to visit his place.
I bet, yeah. That's a good friend to have when you're 10 years old.
Yeah.
Were you allowed to, you know, try out the toys? Could you get stuff out of the boxes or were you not allowed to do that?
Yeah.
Yeah, they did. Okay, nice. And so your parents didn't buy you a Pong, but at what point did you get your first game console in your house?
Actually, I didn't buy any consoles when I joined to Sega.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yes. My friend had the mini consoles, you know. I can go there. I don't want the game console in my room. So for many reasons. So
yeah, why?
I wanted to focus, you know, my creative, you know, the time and the creation when I was, you know, a university student.
Huh, interesting.
And the high school time, I had many other things I wanted to do. I love to play games. But at the time, I went to my friend's house and I went to game center.
Arcades.
Yeah, arcade. I went arcade into the game center many, many times. And I spent that time, a long time. You know, I spent the money a lot. So, but that was my kind of, you know, inspiration, heaven to me.
Do you remember what arcade games you played in the game center?
Yeah, so many games, including arcade, you know, driving, simulation type of game, Hang-On, Afterburner, and the shooting games like, you know, R-Type, Tetris also, and I love to be there, yeah, long time, you know.
And you were always interested in the physical objects, I suppose, that is an arcade machine. You were always interested in that. You mentioned earlier that when you get to Sega, you try and build your own VR headset. Were you an inventor when you were a kid? Did you like making things?
I love to make that kind of the new devices and a new experience. So the arcade is very fantastic, you know, because we can make anything from scratch. So no format and no limitation, just inspiration. I want to create this, and it's possible to make that. Yeah. You know, the business people and executive board people, you know, so how is the business? We need to think about that, but basically no limit, no limitation. So yeah.
Amazing. Do you remember any of the things that you built when you were a kid?
By myself?
Yeah.
Huh. Good question. Actually I don't remember that, but maybe, you know, I did I made many things in my imagination.
Yeah.
No money, new devices, you know, no computer at the time. Yeah. So,
yeah,
just imagination.
And were you into art as well? Did you like drawing at school?
I made the music video and...
Oh, you did?
Music videos and movies. Yeah, it's like that.
So you had a camera?
Of course, yeah. Yeah.
And were you making music videos for songs that were popular or just for, like, you know, your friends' music?
Both. I made the music videos for my friend's band. And I also made kind of copy or remix of some music videos, you know, existing the music videos like Sledgehammer and, you know, Aha's Take On Me. So new creative is, you know, the king. So, yeah, I learned a lot. Yeah, I love the new order type of music videos, very artistic.
Yes.
I learned a lot.
I remember when Take On Me was in Samba de Amigo. Do you remember that?
Oh, really?
Yeah, at least in the Western version, yeah.
Really?
So you'd have to shake the maracas in time to it,
oh,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah.
But remember, you know, that music video is amazing. Hand drawing, head moving with sound and the music as a great context in a narrative. This is like, you know, a metaphor of the current, you know, the situation. Like, you know, this is like a virtual and a real thing, you know, turning the real and the virtual. And the story is very beautiful. Music is very nice. Yeah, this is this is a new media form and a new chemistry, you know, feel very emotional. Yeah, not only music, not only a movie. This is a new marriage. Yeah, but I felt also, I had the new inspiration, you know, if I can create a new interactive thing in the future, what kind of experience should I make? Yeah, that is my pure inspiration for the future creation. Like Res, Luminous, Space Channel 5, yeah, type of game.
Yeah, it all comes out of the, I suppose, music videos and that idea, how you can evolve the music video.
Yeah.
Interesting. And then when you go to university and study media aesthetics, did you want to, at that time, become a film director? Was that the plan?
I wanted to be a music video director, creator at the time. Yeah. Yeah, this is true. It's true. But when I graduated the school, as a great videos, music videos already existed. So I thought, oh, should I make the new thing, new music video? Or should I go to the next future field? I mean, you know, the creative field. So I played the video games a lot and I loved. And some games really, you know, are very inspirational. Like, yeah, this is my second game today. This is a Xenon 2.
What did you play that on?
Amiga one.
Amiga, yes.
Amiga one. And my friend owned Amiga, so I sold it on to my friend's house. I was really shocked.
Hey.
Oh, wow. This was really cool. And the cool graphics and the cool music. This is a shooter. I felt something different, you know, from the game. Very artistic. So I saw the package. I could see, you know, Bitmap Brothers and the Boom the Bass. That kind of, you know, the logos. This is like the artist, pretty artist work. Yeah, so this is not, you know, typical game. And I felt, oh, the game artists and the game, you know, game makers and the game developers also, you know, artists. I got a great inspiration from that, you know, Xenon 2 game.
Yeah, the Bitmap Brothers, they're a UK studio and... Yeah, they had a very advanced graphics, I suppose, didn't they? And like you say, always paired it with brilliant music. So yeah, it had a different feel to other games at the time, for sure, their work.
That game gave me, you know, is a huge inspiration. And that inspiration is getting the new game to me. Yeah, that is Res. There is Res. And so I had the session at the GDC many years ago, And I mentioned about that in my session. And
you mentioned Zenon 2.
Yeah, Zenon 2. And after my session, I met Eric.
Eric Matthews, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So he was in the audience, was he?
Yeah.
When you gave a talk, amazing.
So that was a big surprise to me. And I said to him, thank you very much. And I appreciate that. And yeah, that was a great moment to me.
Yeah, amazing. What did he say to you?
I forgot about that. He said, Rez is amazing, he said. So I think, he mentioned about Rez, and I was so happy.
Yeah.
And, so I felt, just like kind of soul, creative soul from him to, into me. And, that is really good flow. Yeah, this is like a, creative reincarnation kind of thing. Yeah, so maybe...
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah, the flow from his creativity inspiring you and then you inspiring him in return again with what you made.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Your work like Zenon 2 and Rez, they're games that inspire a sort of flow state, don't they? Where the world, when you're playing, the world dissolves and
then,
you as the player become one. You're just in the world and everything else disappears. What is it about the flow state that inspires you? Why do you like to make games that give players that feeling?
Oh, good question. So, Pong. The Pong is pretty simple game and the game mechanism. And the game is fun, even if, black and white and the beep sounds. But the game is, the changing and the revolutionized with technology. So how can we use technology as, developer, creator? Not only fun. So the game is, we can mix the other feeling, like emotional thing. So... fun plus something. The music is amazing. For the music is also, it's a wonderful medium. And it's very emotional. And the narrative, story, something, somebody, the client. And so that is the power of the music. If we can mix that kind of power with the game, what kind of things we can create? So 20 years ago, that was impossible to make that. But, 30 years ago, that was impossible. But 20 years ago, it's getting possible to create that. And now is the great, great works are coming. So this is the power of the technology. How we use that technology, this is a very key thing, So this is the inspiration of creativity all the time.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
So you're at university and you've played Zenon 2 and you're thinking, maybe I should not make music videos, maybe I should try and make arcade games or video games. When did you hear about the job at Sega and do you remember your interview?
Yeah, that was 1989. I went to Sega and the company and the reception of Sega. the ladies, was there. I asked her, how can I enter Sega?
Oh, you didn't have an appointment. You just turned up.
Yeah.
All right.
First. So because a month ago, I saw the great arcade game at the Game Center. That was Power 360. This is the huge giant game by Sega.
Like a big gyroscope, wasn't it, that you sat in?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
And I saw that in the Game Center. I was so shocked. What the... what is this? And this is a game? But I felt, oh, this is a real future thing. The huge machine is moving at a rolling, and the player is sitting in a cockpit and playing the game. So, wow, I want to make this. Who made this? And I saw the logo Sega. And then I went to the Sega, no appointment, and asked a lady, how can I work with, the Sega?
And, what did she say?
And she said, you should make an appointment. And then I called to Sega.
Yeah.
And I want to work with Sega. And how?
Huh, wow. And did they, were they eager to give you a job? It's quite unusual to get someone calling up saying, I want to come and work for you. Did they straight away say, yeah, come and join us?
Not like simple. I met a few people, but finally the head of R&D, Suzuki-san, Suzuki, Hisashi Suzuki. It's not you, Suzuki, Sash Suzuki. I met him, and he listened to me. I explained, I want to make that kind of things, and my vision is like this. And the game is not only game, that it's getting a 3D soon. Yeah, at the time, the 2D era, it's like a bitmap era. But I, studied about the media aesthetics, and I went to United States, to attend the SIGGRAPH and the Sun computer technology future kind of things. And then I had the confidence, the game industry will take that kind of technology. So, and also I explained to him, the virtual reality experience. So he didn't know about virtual reality. That was 1990.
Wow.
Yeah, it's too early. But he said to me, oh, we are a game company, but you are very eccentric. Maybe, we should hire like you.
Wow.
Not many, but, just only one guy. It's very eccentric guy joined to Sega. And maybe Sega will, the change to the future.
Wow.
So,
So you've got Suzuki second to thank for it all. That's
I really thank to him, Suzuki Sasan.
Yeah. And then once you're at the company, obviously you make this VR headset, but then you do start to work on more traditional arcade games. So at what point did you start working on Sega Rally? Did he put you on that team, or did you come up with the idea?
Before Sega Rally, I spent 5 years, at Sega. I contributed to much more bigger thing, not specific arcade games. It's like Joy Police type of,
Like the theme parks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Small theme park attractions. Kind of a CG movie type of production for simulator. And I was in a high-end side, not real-time graphic side. Maybe, in the future, it's coming across. So that was my vision. And then the Sega finally had, real-time CG board, model one.
Model one, yeah.
And the model two was with textures in real-time. And then the Suzuki-san said to me, you should make game. It's a very good time for you. He says, to me like that. And I started to make I started to think of what should I make with Model 2. So the Sega had a really great racing game, like a bunch of racing. And also the Daytona was in action. I felt we should use the textures, you know, power into much more nature thing. So suddenly I had the inspiration, oh, how's rally? Because rally is running in the great nature. Desert, forest, in the city, snow. Yeah, so many conditions. So we can use the power of the texture into, you know, our can game. And also I can use, you know, the mechanics like a moving thing, you know. And I put many actuators in or under the seat and into the steering movement and a huge screen. So yeah, suddenly I had a, okay, let's make a rally game. And then who can make this?
And, yeah.
Yeah. So I made a team, but all 20s, including me.
Yeah, young people.
So young people.
Yeah.
And no experience, you know, and no racing game experience, just only few people. But
right, yeah,
that was so fun, you know, from the scratch. Okay, let's make a rally game. Let's go to desert.
Yeah.
Let's go to desert to shoot the pictures of the forest.
Oh yeah, which desert did you go to?
We went to not Europe. Just, you know, the image hunting, we went to United States, Nevada and Arizona.
Yeah.
And Yosemite.
Oh, nice. That's very exciting. A whole group of you in your 20s flying around the world to take some pictures for your rally game.
Yeah.
Amazing.
That was really fun. That was really fun.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have briefly mentioned this, but we should talk about your third game for your Perfect Console. Which was this gyroscope machine. Do you remember which was your favorite game on that? Because there were a few games that came out for this arcade, the R360. Which one did you like playing the best?
I think I played G-Lock.
It's like Afterburner,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, kind of Afterburner, yes.
Yeah, so a dogfighting in jets,
yep,
type thing, and your body is thrown around, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
Amazing. Did you see that they found a... did you read there was a news story a couple of years ago that they found an R360 arcade machine in a field in Northern Ireland?
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I'll send it to
oh,
you.
Oh, really? Come
yeah.
on.
Yeah, it's sad though because it's sort of rusty and it's been in the weather. But yeah, they found it. Someone had obviously discarded it and they found it in the mud. Someone took photographs. And
oh, I didn't know that.
It's sad because they're quite rare, aren't they? The Sega didn't make very many. I think only 200 or something.
Seven.
I think so. Yeah, it's just so expensive.
Oh, was it?
I think so. No, it's not cheap.
Yeah.
Not cheap. So, but 200 is just not. Yeah, this is the baby. You know. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh wow.
Did you get to make a game for it, the R360, or not?
No. When I joined to Sega, I think the R360 is already existed, but I think the business point of view, it's not the great, the income at the time, I think. So I had no chance to make that. Yeah.
Ah, that's sad. You need to get one in the Enhance office in the corner.
Ben.
Simon.
Yeah.
Wait a sec. I need a battery. I need battery. So please pause.
Of course, yeah. Okay, so Miz has had to go off to find a charger for his MacBook. While he's doing that, I'm actually just going to look up this story that I mentioned there about the Sega R360 being found in a field in Ireland. Here we go, on kotaku.com.au, Australia. Last year, an R360 cabinet. So this story is from 2021, so they're referring to 2020, I guess. And it says, last year, an R360 cabinet was reportedly discovered in a field in Northern Ireland by Lee Peters, a member of the retro Sega R360 and R360Z fan club on Facebook. That's pretty amazing that someone from the fan club happened to find a cabinet in the field. A little suspicious, almost. Anyway, he said it had been left with a farmer in his yard from a local arcade in Northern Ireland, and the owner never returned to pick them up. And it's been there for years. And we've got Lee Peters to thank for finding that. Although in the pictures, it's in pretty bad nick. I don't know how you can quite restore that. Anyway, you can look that up on the internet. And Miz is on his way back, so I'm going to ask him a bit about arcades now.
Simon, you can edit later. Right.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
So I'm interested because you worked in the arcades and the game centers for a long time making games for those, but they've had a really hard time, particularly in Japan, the last 10 years. Do you miss the arcades and, you know, all the possibilities that they gave you as a designer?
So, good question. Not so much, because, you know, new tech coming, like, you know, including VR. I miss the time, but I don't want to go back. And I also, you know, the new consoles like PS5, Xbox, PC, it's much more greater than the hockey era.
Yeah, it used to be the arcades is where the most powerful machines were. And in the house, you had consoles that were less powerful, but that's not true anymore. Now the powerful machines are in our houses, aren't they?
And the environment, like, you know, the arcade center, you know, the game center is so noisy. So if you play the game that kind of place, you can't. Right. Right. Focus.
Yeah.
To play. So.
So you work on Sega Rally Championship, and then you're in Switzerland when you have this experience that changes your perspective on the kinds of games you want to make and leads you to work on Space Channel 5 and Rez. Can you tell us, what were you doing in Switzerland and what was this big dance event?
I had a meeting with some car companies like Opel and Mercedes for Touring Car Championship game. And after that meeting, we stayed at Zurich in Switzerland. And I saw the many people wearing big colorful and crazy fashion. And, you know, everybody, you know, playing the music. And that was like a festival. And suddenly I saw the mini trucks with the huge sound system and the DJ playing on that and, you know, moving in the city.
Yeah.
That was a crazy music festival. So that was street play. This is like a techno music festival. And I didn't have much, you know, curiosity about the techno music at the time. But I went to the stadium the night and I saw 100,000 people moving with the music. Not dancing. Dancing, but I saw the people was moving with the music and the light colors sound. The sound change, the people movements change. So that was very organic. And I couldn't move. And I saw that a long, long, long time.
You just stood there watching these tens of thousands of people all moving in time with the music.
So I had the new inspiration, like, oh, this is like a synesthesia. you know, Kandinsky said, and music change, and the music has dynamics, colors, even as a taste, feel, textures, and the feeling is changed. It's a pretty organic movement and chemistry.
This is Kandinsky, the artist who described or who claimed to have synesthesia, didn't he? So he would see sound as color. And that was something that did you feel that yourself when you were at this event, or was it just something that you wanted to try and explore in games?
At the time, you know, I was really shocked. And I had no specific vision for the future. But if I make something as a game, interactive thing, so if I do something and sound change, the visual change, and if I feel something emotionally, that continuing is getting the new experience, what this is like, you know, that kind of inspiration. But yeah, that was a long, long journey after that. That was in 1997 in Zurich. And then I'm getting the big fan of the electric music after that. And in my head, in my brain, in my imagination, very fuzzy image of the game, you know, becoming solid. My imagination was, oh, this is like a shooter. Because, you know, I had a big, big influence from Xenon 2. And when I played Xenon 2, sometimes I felt music. So that was like, you know, no quantization. It's the music, it was music.
Yeah.
The game is game. That was cool, but this is separated. But in my imagination, how can we combine each sound effect?
So the explosions are in time with the music, is what you mean by quantizing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If I shoot something, the sound effect I had, and the continuing the sound effects, getting the music.
Mm-hmm.
How? So this is the long journey.
Well, this is a good time to come to your fourth game. And then we can talk about creating it. So yeah, tell us, what's the fourth game for your console?
My fourth game is Rez.
So this is, you start work on Rez, you know, like you say, after this experience in Zurich. You know, at what point does it all start to come together and feel like you understand the shape of it?
So the racing game is like existing genre, but the music genre, we had no music genre at the time. But my inspiration was everybody, you know, the many people love their music. Many people love to play a game. How can we combine that? And the one side, like the game, music-based game, like a parapa, the lapa. So you are tracing the beat and the, you know, the music, and then this is good or bad and, you know, excellent or something. So this is really fun. But I wanted to use the power of the music into the another thing. So the game is game. You don't need the rhythm. So I don't want to make the rhythm type of game. I don't want to use that kind of element into the game design. But as a result, you get the power of the music. That means, whoa, this is a feel-good experience. I want to play again. I want to play again. And I feel something. What this feel? That was a really tough approach. And we made many prototypes. Oh, this is not. Oh, this is good. Quantization. Oh, this is a quantization. This is very key. So automatically, it's getting the music.
Yes.
That is really feel good. But that was not enough. So they made many times, you know, the prototyping.
Do you remember Rez had a, you know, very memorable soundtrack, and you had people like Adam Freeland and Kenichi gave tracks, do you remember approaching them? Were you nervous that they would say no?
Yeah, that was really nervous.
Yeah.
So, I brought the prototype to Europe, and I met some people. Yeah, Adam.
Yes.
And also the cold cut. Yeah, Ninja Tune. And Kei Nishi too. Other people like the other artists. And I explained about the concept. But at the time, maybe that was too new. So mostly artists couldn't understand what, I'm talking about, the concept. But some artists had curiosity and the sympathy. And I want to join this, and that sounds great. Let's make that. So finally that artist joined to us. Yeah.
And you were also at this time, or a similar time, you're working on Space Channel 5, 1 and 2, which are a bit more like, as you mentioned, Parappa the Rapper. So it's more of a test of your rhythmic ability. And you work on the second game with Michael Jackson. How did that come about?
Oh, Michael Jackson. I miss him. Yeah, so he loved the game.
He's a big Sega fan, wasn't he?
He loved games. Yeah, game Sega fan and any type of games, and including arcade games. He bought many arcade games in his house. So when he visited to Japan, he visited to Sega, and Sega executives showed him the new thing, new prototype, and he played the Space Channel 5 prototype, and maybe he said, I was not there, but I heard, he said this is my game,
yeah,
kind of thing, because the people are dancing with the music. It's like a musical, right? And but honestly, we had the great inspiration from his music videos. And this is like a contribution to, Michael Jackson at the time. So, we respect him. We respect Michael Jackson. So if, the Michael Jackson music and the dance and the music video is getting interactive, what kind of thing we can create? That is inspiration. We are so surprised because, everybody loved him in my team. His first offer from him, from Michael Jackson, I want to be there. And I want to roll something.
I want to be in the game, he was saying, was he? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, in the Space Channel 5. But we had no time.
Right.
Just only 2 months until the end of the production.
Bad timing.
So bad timing, so bad timing. So, but we want to work with him. But we should say, sorry, we can't create the good thing, because we have no time. So maybe Space Channel 5 sequel, we can work with him, together. And, but we had an idea, if we offer to him, it's very small role.
Yeah.
It's not the main character.
Yeah.
Kind of a
cameo.
This is
kind
of a hidden, secret character. Like, yeah. The Michael Jackson appeared in the game, and alien, the fighting was with alien, and Michael Jackson forced to dance by them. And the people save. If the people can't save him, everybody walk like Michael Jackson. Maybe he refused, that kind of, this is a small role and I don't want to be there. Yeah, we expected that. But his answer is, this is a great idea.
Oh, nice.
And then, oh my gosh, So we made, just only 3 weeks, finally. And we got the voice from him. But we asked him to, retake the voice because the level, sound level was so low and his tension was so low at the time. So I asked him, please
do it again.
Give me another shot.
Yeah.
And So much more, you know.
More energy, yeah.
Emotional, and, you know, energy and screaming and please and please. And finally, we got the new
nice
demo tape for man.
Okay, we should come to your fifth and your final game. Can you tell us about it?
The fifth game is Luminous. This is also my game. Sorry about that. Yeah. Res is great to me and to my team. You know, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, we made a Resident Evil Infinite. We could make the PR finally. Yeah, this is a never-ending project to me. And the Luminous is also never-ending project to me.
Yeah. You want to keep adding to it.
So this is a musical puzzle, kind of the same mechanism as Res. So each sound, quantize, has the music. You play the Luminous as a game, but the feeling is changing, like, oh, I'm playing the music instruments. So this is the key mechanism of the Luminous. Res and the Luminous. But Res is too deep, and not so many people can, you know, play, because the shooter is not so wider genre, you know.
You have to be good at video games to finish Res, don't you? Whereas Luminous is more accessible, like Tetris, right?
And then we made a Tetris effect. That was 2018, you know, 4 years ago. And so that, the basic mechanism is Tetris game mechanism and the mechanism of the synesthesia, you know, we made on Luminous. And this is like, you know, combination and the mariage. The Tetris effect, those recreate the game for us. Million people playing that game.
Wow.
So, you know, including the VR and including the Switch and the mini platforms, we provide a game. But successful, very successful game for us. But behind the success, the mechanism of the Luminous exists.
Yes. Luminous was where you honed that style of game that you were then able to take to Tetris for Tetris Effect.
Yeah. So to me, it's a great game to me.
Mm. Yeah, very important.
And also, this is this is a never-ending project. We want to pursue, you know, for the future. Mm. So, you know, create, and I'm always thinking, what is a new experience, like, you know, the Luminous experience for the future? My team and I thinking about that.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Miz. It's been so good to hear your choices. We've got Pong, we've got Xenon 2, G-Lock on the R360, Res and Luminous. We need a name for your console that we can sell to the world. Have you got an idea for what we can call it?
What do you mean?
like you have the Sega Mega Drive, this is going to be the Mizuguchi. What could we call your game machine?
Synesthesia.
The synesthesia. Perfect. That's very good. Well, thank you for your time. Before I let you go, I've just got a couple of very quick questions. So, you know, we've talked about some of your games. One that we didn't mention was Child of Eden, the Xbox game, which used the Kinect camera. And it was a really wonderful game, but it's hard to play today. Can we ever expect Child of Eden to have the Res Infinite treatment and come to PS5 or something?
Yeah, you should ask for Ubisoft anyway.
Ah, okay. Right. Say no more. And then, okay, well, and lastly, you know, I know that, you know, you said that Res has been this ongoing project and your life's work in some ways. You're constantly evolving that game. But I think people are eager too for a new Mizuguchi game that they can play at home. What kind of game would you like to bring to the world next?
So I want to use the new tech. So new technology always give me the fresh and a new inspiration.
What kind of tech are you interested in?
Any technology, you know, sensors, visual, audio, device. Yeah, what is the next sort of VR? Like, yeah, like, you know, Child Vision, we use the Kinect technology. And recently, you know, we are making the game on VR2. So this is optional, but we love to create that with Infinite and the Tetris effect. Yeah, so we want to keep that kind of a style. The making the game, this is a hybrid, the game on the new console and new technology, and traditional, you know, 2D screen, both. The game is the same, but experience is different. That kind of style we love. And my future game is, any game should be synesthesia experience. Yeah, I want to make much more greater synesthesia experience. So I want to spend my rest of time in my life. That's it.
Yeah. Wonderful. Thank you, Miz. It's been so good to talk as ever. And
thank you, Simon. Yeah. That was a great time. That was great. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Tetsuya Mizuguchi there. What a lovely, lovely man he is, and what a fantastic set of games he has created. I've, you know, spoken to Miz quite a few times over the years, but this was perhaps the first time that I've really appreciated just quite what an eccentric hire he was for Sega in the 1980s, you know, just turning up at their offices because he's seen the word Sega on the side of an arcade cabinet and is interested in making something with this new interesting technology, this gyroscopic technology, and turning up at the desk and saying, I want to come and work for you because I want to make that kind of thing. And the head of R&D just saying, well, look, you know, maybe Sega could use having a person like you. Not too many of them, but maybe just one, Mizuguchi. Yeah, I think we can forgive him as well for picking a couple of the games that he's worked on, because he really wanted to tell the story of his career in games. And as we were discussing at the end there, Rez has in many ways been his life's work, the thing that he returns to time and time again over the decades, and upgrades for new hardware and for new sensory experiences that he can add to that original template. But if you do go back and play the original on the Sega Dreamcast or on PlayStation 2, it's still an extremely fine game, and in some ways the embellishments that have happened in the years since have all been interesting, but they haven't revolutionized that incredible first draft that was Rez. Of course, it's been picked by a couple of my previous guests on My Perfect Console. Phil Fish, for example, picked Rez on his very fine console that he put together. It is a connoisseur's choice, I would say. And if you are yet to play it, then now is as good a time as ever. You can pick it up for your PlayStation 5 and for your Xbox One as well, I believe, in its most recent iteration. You can write to me at myperfectconsole@gmail.com with any comments or suggestions or encouragement. Thank you to those of you who do. I do get quite a lot of mail. It's not really for reading out, I don't think, but it is all read by me, and so I try to respond to every one of you. So thank you for those of you who do that. You can follow me on Twitter at Simon Parkin, and you can follow the podcast as well at My Perfect Console with the O's removed from console. If you want to support the podcast financially, head to Acast Plus. My Perfect Console, and for £3 a month, you can get your episodes 24 hours early and ad free. We've got some great guests coming up. We've got some great guests that we've had before. If this is the first episode that you've found because you were a Tetsuya Mizuguchi fan, then I do encourage you to go back, listen to some of our other guests. We've had people from the world of video games, of course, but also from film and TV, from comedy, from music, and trying to expand and diversify the list of guests all the time. So, yeah, dig into the archives. Please do that. Okay, well, I'll be back again next week with a new guest with their five games and one more Perfect Console. Until then.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.